Time now for Inside Utah Politics with Lindsay Ayres.
Well, welcome on into IUP Plus today. This is our streaming show. We're happy you found us, whether it's on News for Utah Plus or YouTube or the internets, wherever you found us. We're grateful you're here. Today, we've got a lot to talk about with redistricting, with the special session, with Democrats who are now campaigning for a possibly competitive district in Utah. And the Democrat Party is also calling Republican rhinos, we'll call them, home. I want to welcome in my panelists today. Taylor, Leah, introduce yourselves.
Leah Murray, political science professor up at Weber State University, director of the Walker Institute.
Taylor Morgan, Corner Canyon PWC2 assistant coach, also partner at Morgan May Public Affairs.
Lindsay Ayres, Highland 5'6 girls lacrosse coach.
Ooh, hey.
I see your Corner Canyon and I raise you Highland.
We're about to get to playoffs. It's intense. There's a lot happening.
Wait, football and lacrosse you coach.
True. Yeah.
That's a big deal. It's pretty cool.
Lot. Yeah.
Producer Peter's here too.
Hi, folks. Hi, yeah. Producer. I don't have a nice second title to introduce here. I need to get more involved in my community,
no,
I guess.
No, like you don't coach some team.
No, not right now.
But listen, your shirt says the world needs journalists, and that is 100% accurate.
Well, thank you, folks. I always love this shirt because it gets people to pat me on the back
for
doing my job.
Is it kind of patronizing? We've a little bit of pity or?
Well, you know, it's a little bit of both. Yeah. It's like, oh, you're broke, but you feel important.
You have a very large desk, so you're not
I have
broke,
a wonderful
clearly.
Desk back here. I'll show the viewers on the wide cam at some point, but get excited.
We love your desk, Peter. All right, let's dive right in, shall we? Let's get into what happened in the special session yesterday. The biggest, the chief topic among those, Utah's potentially new congressional maps. If you're just diving in here, a third district judge required that the legislature draw new maps because they argue, or the judge ruled rather, that the legislature overturned a citizen ballot initiative from 2018 that was supposed to help Utah not gerrymander. So, Taylor, let me start with you. The Republican-controlled legislature picked map C. I think we're going to pull that map up here. What do you make of their decision?
Yeah, I think this is a great map, my personal opinion, and not just because I'm a Republican. I see a lot of advantages to this map. We keep Salt Lake County, the east side of Salt Lake County, intact, most notably. Salt Lake City proper is all together in this map, in Map C. And when we're talking about the standards of Prop 4, communities of interest and trying to keep cities and counties together when possible, I think Map C really does a good job of that. We do split a couple cities. We still split in Mill Creek in Salt Lake County. And then, of course, like I said, the east to west in Salt Lake County. That is not optional, by the way. That Salt Lake County has to be split just because of population when it comes to federal law and trying to balance. There's just too many people in Salt Lake County not to split it. I think Map C does a really good job of doing that while also keeping communities of interest and cities together. Map C to me is really interesting because it has Salt Lake City. It has east side Salt Lake County, as I mentioned. It also has Summit County, Park City. And you know what? For good measure, let's toss in Grand County and Moab. You're welcome, Democrats. I think it is. It's not technically a D-plus district with the demographics, but it is, on paper, a highly competitive district for the right kind of Democrat.
Whoa. You are not allowed to talk about partisan data of these maps. That is not allowed.
Well, let's be honest. Can we just be honest about what this is?
Please be honest.
All this bluster and all this fluff about what is competitive, what is fair. Let's be honest, who is behind the lawsuit and the litigation here? It is national Democrats. They are the ones funding the lawsuit here. What they are looking for is an outcome that would allow them to elect a Democrat to the U.S. House of Representatives. They don't care about process, otherwise they'd also have sued over our legislative districts. One could argue those maps are the most problematic when it comes to gerrymandering or incumbent protection. This is a Democratic power grab, always has been, still is today.
Leah, those are some strong words. You got to chime in here.
Yeah, so I just wanted to add, like, Map C, before I get to the strong words that Taylor just gave
those
us.
Those were polite.
Polite, strong words, but they were.
Words.
Factual, strong words. when I, in my intro class, so imagine these are students who self-selected into a class probably because it was Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 9:30, more than they are interested in the topic of politics, right?
It's
a good time to take a class. Yeah. So I said, and I didn't have, so the maps that we had up earlier, right, Peter, included new maps from the plaintiffs, the legislature was considering map A, B, C, D, and E, which were, right, not these two proposed maps that are here.
Right.
So I had that, like, list of five maps, asked my students, which one do you think is right? And the majority of the students landed on map C.
Mm. So a little bit, you think that is?
Well, I want to say, like, maybe it looks the most reasonable. So these students would have no idea the history, right? They are not really schooled in redistricting or gerrymandering. They're not getting emails from the GOP asking people to call and talk about map C, right, which we all got last week. They are not getting emails from the League of Women Voters complaining about what happened, and where they landed was on map C. So I don't know, Lindsay and Taylor, like, I read that as maybe collective wisdom in some way, right? Like, people who don't have a lot of knowledge about it, yeah, looking at the maps, felt like map C looked like the most reasonable. So I think, to a certain extent, I wonder about the Democratic litigation really seeming out of touch or tone deaf, because if people who are not super interested look at it and go, yeah, no, that looks like it's okay, you know what I mean? Like, it feels like the next conversation is going to be, what do you want? What do you want in a Republican, pretty much dominated state? What are you looking for? Yeah. This feels reasonable.
And to that point, I think you're spot on. You're exactly right. And, you know, my strong words aside, I like to tease the folks behind the litigation for this reason, right? What do you want? I think we have an outcome here in these maps. I think they were drawn fairly. I think the legislature went about drawing these maps under protest, as they would say, but they did a good job. And if these maps were not fair, and if map C specifically did not give the right kind of Democrat a fighting chance in Utah, then why would we have seen prominent Democrats already talking to national press about throwing their hat in the ring to run, right, for one of these districts in map C? It's because I do think it's a good map, it's reasonable, and we can't talk about competitiveness or demographics, but it does give a competitive opportunity for a Utah Democratic candidate.
Okay, so I want to get back to the candidates who said they're going to jump in the ring now that we potentially have a new map. But I want to talk about the litigation really fast. No sooner was this map passed than the plaintiffs came out and filed suit again against the legislature over the three tests that the lawmakers, the Republican-controlled Utah legislature, passed in the special session. And so that litigation argues that the legislature has again impaired Prop 4 by creating tests that they allege will forever favor Republicans. Leah, what do you make of that?
Well, a little bit again. What forever favors Republicans, Lindsay, is the fact that we live in Utah, right? So we are not talking about a state like Arizona, which actually is competitive, right, where you could gerrymander to prevent.
But what about the 30% of Democrats who do vote in Utah? I know there's only 14% of them registered,
hold
but
on.
There are...
30%? There now you're just making up numbers.
No. There are 28% of people in Utah who vote Democratic in any statewide election. Take the average of the last four statewide elections, last three, and you will see that 30...
one of the candidates on the ballot who happens to be a Democrat. They don't vote Democratic. Those are two different things.
Okay, sorry. I misspoke a little bit. But they vote for the Democratic candidate on the ballot in statewide races. Leo, I mean...
Right, even there, right? 70% are voting for Republicans. So when I say this is a state that's a dominant Republican state, even that number at 30% as being a floor, if not a ceiling, for Democratic vote share in the state is an indicator of why people shouldn't be... When I asked earlier, what are they looking for? If this were a state that was like 52-48 and we had all Republicans, then I think harm is more obvious to me. A little bit the reason why it's forever favoring Republicans is because Republicans win.
Yeah. Democrats in Utah are not losing elections because of how maps are drawn.
Right.
Democrats in Utah aren't winning elections because, number one, there aren't Democrats running in most elections. And number two, the Democrats who are running are unelectable. Brian King, Caroline Gleick. These Democrats are the worst performing Democratic candidates statewide in Utah history, and they were the Democrats on the ballot last election cycle. Democrats, you have to win elections if you want power. You cannot sue your way into elected office.
Right, and the other thing I would add here, just kind of pulling back on what Taylor said earlier, when the lawsuit went to just the congressional districts, and not to the state legislative districts, like down the ballot, where I would argue if Democrats actually paid attention, they could win, right? So to a certain extent, my critique of the Democratic Party in the state is a lack of building of a pipeline, a lack of like courting good candidates down ballot and getting them name recognition and all the things a party would do if they were party building and if they were thinking of the future. What the Democratic Party does, and I'll just add it, is they pick someone who's not a Democrat to run against Mike Lee a few years ago. None of that helps their party. None of that helps their party brand. And these are the reasons why they lose. Not because the congressional districts are drawn, what my students would say, reasonably.
Okay, so Taylor, among the list of people who have come out and said, I'm going to potentially run for this seat, depending on which map we get, and not even which map we get, you know, just because there's a map that even may make a competitive seat, who are these good Democrats that you're talking about?
Okay, so think about Jim Matheson of the past, Doug Owens, Ben McAdams. These are the kind of Democrats in Utah that resonate with Utah voters. If, to be very, very general, a Democrat to win a congressional district in Utah has to win at least 20 to 25% of the Republican vote, in addition to winning over at least 60% of the unaffiliated vote in any district. That's the standard. Those numbers may obviously shift in Map C in that one district in particular, but that is still the standard. That is still the standard. There are not enough Democrats in Utah, nor are there enough progressive liberal unaffiliated voters to elect a liberal Democrat. A Democrat has to be mainstream. Think a blue dog Democrat, the days of yore in Congress, right? A fiscally conservative, values-driven Democrat who is perhaps also a member of the predominant faith. That is the type of candidate that can win in Utah.
But don't use your faith to campaign. That's something
that... Oh, you're getting big trouble for that.
Yeah, you don't want to do that. Leo, who do you want to see run? I mean, right now we've got names like Kathleen Reby. She's a Democratic state senator. We've got Ben McAdams kind of floating around there. Who do you want to see come out of the woodwork here?
Oh, I mean, I think, again, like I just said, my argument for over two decades with the Democrats is not being kind to their candidates, right? So a little bit what I want are people to run who are good, viable candidates, and then to have the party not decide gamesmanship, right? The clever things that party leadership in this state for the Democrats tend to do, which I think actually gets in the way of electing somebody who is good. I think a little bit, and we were talking off the air, right, Lindsay and Taylor, that we're thinking Blake Moore's district and Burgess Owens' district are competitive.
Yeah.
So a little
slightly
bit...
slightly more competitive in Map C.
Right. So a little bit... you know, to me, it's more about what then becomes the right Democrat in those specific districts, right? Because that should look a little different from the other ones. But mostly, the Democratic Party needs to get out of its own way, I think, in the state of Utah. I want national money to not be here making an argument, litigating till everyone gets frustrated. And maybe, to a certain extent, filibustering past... right, where people might be able to declare and actually start building a campaign machine and actually be able to win in a midterm election, which looks good for Democrats. The best shot they're going to have is next year.
I have harsh words for Democrats here in Utah.
Because you care.
Because I care.
Yeah.
And I know that sounds patronizing and it's a cliche. It's true, though. My mother, my earliest and most impactful political mentor, was a Democratic state senator. I consulted Doug Owens, both of his congressional runs, as a Utah Democrat. So I'm not a partisan homer as much as I may sound like one. I genuinely care about the future of Utah Democrats. I like competition in our elections. It's not healthy, right, when Utah voters don't have a real choice. The Utah Democratic Party has become radicalized and unrepresentative here in Utah, in part because of its open primaries. And we've had so many Utah Democrats affiliate as Republicans to try to have an influence in Utah's predominant party. Now, this is probably the one and only time I'll ever agree with Utah Democratic Party Chair Brian King when he says, "Rhinos, come home. We need you in the Democratic Party." It's true. Brian, take it one step further. Free advice here. Close your primary.
Why do you want their primaries closed?
Because Democratic candidates deserve to know who the Democrats are. Democrats have to put on a primary that is worth voters affiliating in order to participate in. If it's not exclusive to your party, frankly, it is not worth participating in. If you just open it up to everyone, that is telling voters that your primary isn't worth voting in. close your primary, require Democrats to affiliate, and then your candidates will know who their voters are. They will know who to message to. That helps you build a roster of competitive Democratic candidates,
right,
and frankly, a future for your party. Democrats have a huge opportunity here with this redistricting, and it goes far beyond the maps. It really is the future of their party. They have to build their party to win in Utah.
So, Leah, what do you want to say to those people who are still affiliated with the Republican Party because they know that the Republicans control this state, and if they want to stay in the primary, that is where they need to cast their vote? What do you say to those people who, to Taylor's point and Brian King's point, they want rhinos to come home?
I mean, a little bit, the answer is, I will just say to Brian King, who was in an ad with Phil Lyman last summer, right? So to a certain extent,
Brian,
you are a Democrat, that cleverness, that gamesmanship doesn't make me want to come home, right? It just all kind of looks like political theater. And I think to Taylor's point, if we're going to build a party, build for the future, we have to do more support of candidates, right? Like, so it's less of the spending money on those cute little ads and more of actually helping people win election. But I also want to say, Lindsay, to your question, a little it's chicken and egg. So I would recommend that people stay Republican as long as the primary is closed, because then you might have an impact over on the right side and you might be able to, get some center-right candidates, right? Like in this, what I said earlier, very dominant Republican state, man, I would rather have someone who is more center-right than I want someone who is way off to the right. And a little bit, I would want to see the party built before I would
come back in.
But to Taylor's point, until people come back, you can't build the party.
Yeah, how do you build the party if they're not coming back?
Here's how you start. Instead of continuing to sue over MAPC and over what the legislature passed yesterday in special session, they're going to spend hundreds of thousands of dollars on more litigation. The solution is take that money,
run candidates,
and invest it in candidates for the Utah legislature. Not just Congress, Utah Democrats.
The legislature.
The legislature is where the power is in Utah. It is the 800-pound gorilla. It is also where you can spend a little bit of money and win a lot of seats. That's where you start. Brian King, you're welcome. I'll be sending an invoice.
Okay, I'm going to circle back to the lawsuit really fast before we move on to one final topic here. And that is because one of the senators, talking about the lawsuit here, one of the senators got up on the Senate floor, and I interpreted it as sort of a threat to the judge and to the lieutenant governor, because he was saying basically that the judge does not have the constitutional or legal authority to pick a map here in Utah. I want you guys to listen to this clip of Senator Brady Brammer, and then I'll have you react.
It would be a malfeasance in office, for a court to attempt to accept a map that has not been approved by the legislature, or for a lieutenant governor to certify and use a map that has not been approved by the legislature.
So, Leah, what do you make of that statement there?
Yeah, definitely a threat, right? So I think right there he is saying, specifically, I think unfairly to the lieutenant governor, if you certify these maps, then we will impeach you, right? And the answer is, what's she going to do? Like, her job is actually, I think, to answer what the court says. You know, so I think a little more fair, I guess, to threaten to impeach the judge. But a little bit, I think the judge kind of acknowledged, right, that they can't tell the legislature what to do. And we've been talking about this for weeks, y'all, right? Like, this has been fun, horizontal accountability that's been going on between these branches. So I'm not
so
surprised.
Much fun.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's been fun.
Get out your popcorn, because it's been fun. Yeah. But, Taylor, my question sort of, too, is, you know, the Republicans here are saying the judge has no legal or constitutional authority to pick a map, but she has asked the plaintiffs to, oh, there's Brady Brammer again.
Again,
he's just malfeasance in office. Yeah. He really believes that.
Yeah.
And so the question here is really, can the judge pick these maps? Because the legislature seems very serious that they may take action if she does.
Well, I think let's be clear. The legislature has been under a lot of strain and pressure, and it's their job. So I'm not feeling badly for them. I'm just saying we have seen our Utah legislature struggle a bit with their bedside manner throughout this process. And the good senator from Northern Utah County, bless his heart, he has been leading out on this, and he's been under a lot of pressure, feeling a lot of criticism. So thank him for his service, and at the same time, maybe suggest that these remarks were not necessary, they weren't constructive, they weren't helpful. We know that an actual impeachment would have to be called by the House, mm-hmm. not the Senate. We don't need to be threatening people at this point. I think the legislature drew a great map. I think we have a wonderful final product here in Map C, and there's no need to be threatening anyone right now. I think the legislature is in a good place. Take a deep breath, calm down, and maybe watch some college football, Senator Graham.
The legislature sort of has a little bit of a PR problem right now, too, would you say? Would you agree with that?
That's my point.
Yeah, they have a little bit of a PR problem, and that they almost seems like they don't. Do they care about this PR problem, or are they just kind of moving forward anyways with what they think is right?
Both.
They think it's right, and they don't care about the
PR
problem.
They know they're right.
Yeah.
They're having a hard time understanding why everyone else doesn't agree with the fact that they are right. And of course, I'm being a little bit facetious there.
Sure.
But I think they genuinely are frustrated by a couple things. Most importantly, our legislature is still frustrated by the ruling of the state Supreme Court last July, in which the state Supreme Court essentially created a super law. Initiatives now have special higher protected status as statute. That is something legislators have still not reconciled.
I do want to correct you a little bit to say that that is their perspective, because other people see it that they can still tweak initiatives. They just can't impair them.
Absolutely right. You're right. I agree with that. But their perception still stands, and they are frustrated by that. They have not reconciled that. And we are going to see efforts this coming session to deal with it.
Leah, final words here?
Yeah, no, just of course they don't care. I mean, they care, right? But, like, they don't have to. They are always winning. So looping all the way back, if we had Democrats running better candidates in the state legislature, and then we had a more competitive state legislature where more people were in the room when the conversations were happening, then they might listen more.
Yeah, if you're mad, then donate to their opponents. Run against them if they don't have an opponent. Get involved in the process. Primary elections are coming up. You can file as a candidate starting the first week in January. So if you are frustrated with this legislature, take action and do something about it.
We are going to leave it there. Taylor Morgan, Leah Murray, thanks for your insights today. You guys were so great. Producer thanks. Peter, appreciate your button pushing over there.
Even if I piped in a little bit of extra Brady Brammer audio.
You know what?
My apologies.
Who would you say pushes more buttons on this show, me or Producer Peter?
You.
It's a stiff competition. You guys can't see all the ones I'm pushing over there, so it's tough to assess, but Taylor might have me beat.
I'll step it up. I'll keep it going.
Push more buttons. All right, you guys, appreciate you watching. I would invite you to watch our Sunday show, Inside Utah Politics. It airs at 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. on Sundays. I haven't planned the show yet for this week, so stay tuned to who's going to be on this week. That's me and Peter's job, so we will get there. Appreciate you watching our streaming show. Share with your friends, and we will see you next time.